Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memra by Avram Goldar and today Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Pei, the ninth parak, Hanisrafin. The Zichu Masechta Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was Tana Braisa that if a cow killed a person and afterwards gave birth, if it gave birth before its verdict was issued, the offspring is permitted in Hana, but if it gave birth afterwards, it's forbidden. The first ruling implies that even if the mother killed someone while pregnant, the offspring is permitted. This is contradicted by Rabbi, who said, "Vlad hanogachas aser." The offspring of a pregnant goring cow is forbidden as a carbon because he uvlad nachu, it and its offspring both gore together. The Gemara amends the Braisa to say that if the cow conceived and gave birth between the killing and the verdict, the offspring is permitted, but if it conceived and gave birth after the verdict, the offspring is prohibited because it was born from a forbidden cow. The Gemara asks that according to the opinion that Zevazegor Mutter, when this forbidden item and that permitted item together cause something, the result is permitted, then the offspring, which was produced by a forbidden mother and prohibited father, should be permitted. The Gemara asks that according to the opinion that Zevazegor Mutter, when this forbidden item and that permitted item together cause something, the result is permitted, then the offspring, which is produced by a forbidden mother and permitted father, should be permitted. Finally, Ravina amends the Braisa to say that if the mother conceived before the verdict and gave birth afterwards, the offspring is prohibited because uber yerach imo, the fetus is like a thigh of the mother and becomes forbidden through the mother's verdict. Pointing to the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that if people sentenced to different methods of execution were mixed together, they're all given the most lenient execution. The Gemara said this should prove that musu davar chamur havi musu davar kal. Someone warned for a more severe execution is also considered warned for a more lenient execution. Otherwise, those who are warned and convicted for the more severe misa cannot be killed with the more lenient misa. Rabbi Yirmi answers that the Mishnah's case is shuhusu bo stam, that they warned him generally that he would be killed, but did not specify which method, so he's considered warned for every type of misa. This follows the Tana who only requires hasra, that the perpetrator would be killed, but Rabbi Yehuda requires warning him with the misa he would receive. The Tana Kama derives his ruling from the Mekoshesh, the one who gathered wood on Shabbos, who was killed without being warned which misa he would incur, since it was not yet known. Rabbi Yehuda holds that was a horasha. And pointing with you, Rabbi Yechezkel taught his son Rami our mission with the text, Hanisrafim b'niskalim, if those sentenced with Sreifa became mixed with those sentenced with Skila, Rabbi Shimon says they're all stoned because he holds Sreifa as the most severe execution. Rabbi Yehuda, Rami's brother, objected, Abba Otis Nayahachi, father did not teach the mission this way. If most of the group was sentenced to Skila, why is it necessary to say that Sreifa is more severe? Even if it were not more severe, typically, the Ruben is calling Ninu. Let this ruling result from most of the group being those sentenced to Skila, and we follow the majority to give everyone Skila. Instead, Rav Yehuda said to teach the Mishnah as Haniskalim b'nisrafin. Those sentenced with Skila became mixed with those sentenced with Sreifa. And Rabbi Shimon rules they are all stoned, the more lenient Misa, despite the majority being sentenced to Sreifa. Still, the Chachamim say they are all killed with Sreifa because Skila is more severe, in their opinion, which is unnecessary when the majority was sentenced to Sreifa because they are simply responding to Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel told Rav Yehuda he should not have corrected his father in this direct manner. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a Braisa that if a cow killed a person and afterwards gave birth, if it gave birth before its verdict was issued, the offspring is permitted in benefit, but if it gave birth afterwards, it's forbidden. The first ruling implies that even if the mother killed someone while pregnant, the offspring is permitted. This is contradicted by Rabbi, who said, "Vlad hanogachas aser." The offspring of a pregnant goring cow is forbidden as a carbon because he uvlad nachu, it and its offspring both gore together. The Gemara amends the Braisa to say that if the cow conceived and gave birth between the killing and the verdict, the offspring is permitted, but if it conceived and gave birth after the verdict, the offspring is prohibited because it was born from a forbidden cow. The Gemara asks that according to the opinion that Zevazegor Mutter, when this forbidden item and that permitted item together cause something, the result is permitted, then the offspring, which was produced by a forbidden mother and prohibited father, should be permitted. The Gemara asks that according to the opinion that Zevazegor Mutter, when this forbidden item and that permitted item together cause something, the result is permitted, then the offspring, which is produced by a forbidden mother and permitted father, should be permitted. Finally, Ravina amends the Braisa to say that if the mother conceived before the verdict and gave birth afterwards, the offspring is prohibited because uber yerach imohu, the fetus is like a thigh of the mother and becomes forbidden through the mother's verdict. Pointing to the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that if people sentenced to different methods of execution were mixed together, they're all given the most lenient execution. The Gemara said this should prove that musru davar chamur havi musru davar kal. Someone warned for a more severe execution is also considered warned for a more lenient execution. Otherwise, those who are warned and convicted for the more severe misa cannot be killed with the more lenient misa. Rabbi Yirmiyah answers that the Mishnah's case is shehusu bo stam, that they warned him generally that he would be killed, but did not specify which method, so he's considered warned for every type of misa. This follows the Tana, who only requires hasra, that the perpetrator would be killed, but Rabbi Yehuda requires warning him with the misa he would receive. The Tana Kama derives his ruling from the Mekoshesh, the one who gathered wood on Shabbos, who was killed without being warned which misa he would incur, since it was not yet known. Rabbi Yehuda holds that was a horasha. And point number 3, Rabbi Yechezkel taught his son Rami our mission with the text, Hanisrafim b'niskalim, if those sentenced with Sreifa became mixed with those sentenced with Skila, Rabbi Shimon says they're all stone because he holds Sreifa is the most severe execution. Rabbi Yehuda, Rami's brother, objected, Abba l'tiznayu hachi, father did not teach the mission this way. If most of the group was sentenced to Skila, why is it necessary to say that Sreifa is more severe? Even if it were not more severe, typically, derubin niskalin ninu. Let this ruling result from most of the group being those sentenced to skila, and we follow the majority to give everyone skila. Instead, Rav Yehuda said to teach the Mishnah as haniskalin b'nisrafin. Those sentenced with skila became mixed with those sentenced with sreifa. And Rabbi Shimon rules they are all stoned, the more lenient misa, despite the majority being sentenced to sreifa. Still, the Chachamim say they're all killed with sreifa because skila is more severe, in their opinion, which is unnecessary when the majority was sentenced to sreifa because they are simply responding to Rabbi Shimon. Shmuel told Rav Yehuda he should not have corrected his father in this direct manner. All right, so now we go to Siman Dapei, and our standard Siman is a painter, so here goes. While one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, another was changing the sign above the mixture of convicted men to the more lenient punishment, even though the majority were Chayv Sreifa, which according to Rabbi Shimon is more severe. Once again, slow motion. While one of Basin's painters, that must be Siman Dapei, pay. Well, one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, which reminds us, Ravina amended a brisa to say that if a cow killed a person and conceived before the verdict and gave birth afterwards, the offspring is prohibited because uber yerech imohu. The fetus is like a thigh of the mother and becomes forbidden through the mother's verdict. So, while one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, another was changing the sign above the mixture of convicted men to the more lenient punishment, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that if people sentenced to different methods of execution were mixed together, they're all given the most lenient execution. The Gemara asked that this should prove that musru davar chamur habi musru davar kal. Someone warned for a more severe execution is also considered warned for a more lenient execution. Otherwise, those who are warned and convicted for the more severe misa cannot be killed with the more lenient misa. Rabbi Yirmiyah answers in the Mishnah's case is shehisru bo stam, that they warned him generally that he would be killed, but did not specify which method, so he's considered warned for every type of misa. So, while one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, another was changing the sign above the mixture of convicted men to the more lenient punishment, even though the majority were Chayv Sreifa, which according to Rabbi Shimon is more severe, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said to teach the Mishnah as Haniskalim b'nisrafin. Those sentenced with Skila became mixed with those sentenced with Sreifa, and Rabbi Shimon rules they're all stoned, the more lenient Misa, according to him, despite the majority being sentenced to Sreifa. So once again, while one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, another was changing the sign above the mixture of convicted men to the more lenient punishment, even though the majority were Chayv Sreifa, which according to Rabbi Shimon is more severe. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blaba Chazara. Daf Ein Vav. So the symbol Daf Ein Vav is IV, intravenous. So here goes. The nurse who didn't administer IV, that must be on Daf Ein Vav, IV, intravenous. The nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and Kal Vachomer, he wouldn't want her to, which reminds us, the Gemara asked for the source to apply Sreifa to relations with Bito Ma'anusoso, his daughter from a woman he violated, meaning not from his wife. Abai says it's a Kal Vachomer, Al Bas Bito Anush, for his daughter's daughter he's punished with Sreifa, Al Bito Kol Shekein, is it not certainly so for his daughter herself? The Gemara objects, Vikei Onshimina Din, do we punish based on a Kal Vachomer? It answers Gilui Milsa Ba'amahu. It's merely revealing a law already included in a known law, not deriving a new one. Since his daughter's daughter is only related to him through his daughter's prohibition is implicit in his granddaughter's prohibition. Rava disagrees and derives this law from a Gezer Shavav, Heina Heina Zima Zima, teaching that just as his wife's daughter has the same prohibition and Sreifa as her granddaughter, his own daughter's laws also match his granddaughter's. So the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to and called the coma he wouldn't want her to, skipped the next patient, a 90 adult, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, which reminds us, Rav said, Hamasias Bito Azakin, one who marries his young daughter to an old man, or marries off his minor son, or returns a lost object to an idolater. The Pasuk says about him, so that the quenched be attached to the thirsty, Hashem will not be willing to forgive him. Rashi explains that he's pairing someone with little desire for relations, an old man or minor, with a wife who's thirsty for them, leading her to sin. Similarly, one who returns a lost object to an idolater equates the quenched, meaning the idolaters, with the thirsty, meaning Jews who thirst to fulfill Hashem's will, and indicates that his returning of lost items is not because of the commandment. So the nurse who didn't administer IV to her father because he instructed her daughter not to, and kal vachomer he wouldn't want her to, skipped the next patient, an idolater, who wasn't thirsty because someone just returned his lost water bottle, and was glad to see that the mitzamsim of the drowning victim was getting the proper punishment, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses the liability for murder of mitzamsim, of preventing escape, and its law for damages. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Ein Zayin is an aze, a goat. So here goes. The band of evil Azuzmen who were putta when they used goatskin ropes, goat, that must be run on Daf Ein Zayin, aze, goat. The band of evil Azuzmen who were putta when they used goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses numerous cases of murder through mitzamsim, confinement. Rava says if one bound someone in the sun or cold, which was strong enough to kill over time, he's liable for the death since the lethal element was there, similar to holding someone underwater. However, if the sun or cold was not initially there but came later, he's exempt. So the band of evil Azuzmen who were putta when they used goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, and were also putta when they removed a ladder from the man stuck in a pit, which reminds us, Rava says that if one pushed someone into a pit which had a ladder, but someone came and removed the ladder, or the first person himself removed the ladder, trapping the victim, he's not chayav for his death because at the time he pushed him in, he could have escaped. Thus, the original pushing was not lethal, and removing the ladder is a grama, an indirect cause of death. So the band of evil Azuzmen who were putta when they used goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, and were also putta when they removed a ladder from the man stuck in a pit, were finally chayav when they used their goats to divert water onto a victim tied up by the shore, which reminds us, Rapapa says that if one bound someone near a body of water and caused a burst of water to wash over him by removing the barrier, withholding the water, killing him, it's considered his arrow, meaning direct action, since he released the water's force and he's chayav from the murder. However, this is only b'koach rishon, with the primary force which fell on the victim the moment he removed the barrier of a b'koach sheni, but the secondary force, which Rashi explains to mean where the victim was at a distance from the water, which flowed until reaching him afterwards, grama ba'amahu, it's merely an indirect cause of his death, and he's exempt. Daf Ein Ches. So the simmer Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The kids visiting a basin who went, ugh. Kids going, ugh. That must be on Daf Ein Ches. The kids visiting a basin who went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Iku Asar B'nei Adam Basar Makos Umeis. If 10 people struck someone with 10 sticks and he died, whether they struck him simultaneously or one after the other, they're patur from execution. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says that if they struck him one after the other, the last one is chai because he hastened his death, but are exempt if they struck him simultaneously because only a single murderer can be liable. So the kids visiting a basin went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man. And when, ugh, again, when an x-ray proved that another murderer was a trefa and couldn't be convicted, which reminds us, Rabbi said that one who murders a trefa is putter because he's already considered dead. If a trefa committed murder in front of Basin and no testimony is necessary, he's killed because the Pasuk says, ubiarta rami kerbecha, and you shall destroy the evil from your midst. If the murder was not in front of Basin, he's putt because any edus against him is edus shiatayachu hazima, edus which cannot be discredited through hazama with this accompanying punishment, since such witnesses only attempted to kill a trefa and are not executed if they're found zomim, their testimony is invalid. So the kids visiting a basin went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man. And when, ugh, again, when an x-ray proved that another murderer was a trefa and couldn't be convicted, saw a victim who was reassessed to survive an attack walk into the room and drop dead in front of them and wondered if his attacker would be convicted for murder, which reminds us, the next mission states that if one struck someone, Bamduhu Amisa, and they assessed that he would die, but he improved and was reassessed to survive, but later it deteriorated and died, the attacker is executed. However, Rabbi Nechemiah says he's pater shiragulayim v'davar, because there's an indication in the matter that the victim did not die from the attack. Daf Ein Tes. So the Siman Daf Ein Tes is an 8, a pen, and we often use a sofer in the Siman. So here goes. The angry sofer was pater when he threw his quill. Sofer, quill? That must be on Daf Ein Tes, 8, quill, pen, sofer. The angry sofer was pater when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one who intended to kill an animal or idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, he's pater. If he intended to strike the victim where he would not be killed, but struck his heart, where the blow could kill him, or intended to strike him where the blow could kill him, but mistakenly struck him where the blow was not able to kill him, but he died anyway, he's also pater. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he intended to kill this person, but killed that person, he's pater. So the angry sofer was pater when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was pater again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, which reminds us, we learned that if one threw a stone into a group consisting of 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, and a Jew is killed, the person is pater. The Pasuk teaches that although the majority are Jews, since the non-Jew was kavua, fixed in place, the killer is not executed because kol kavua kamechzal mechzadami. Any suffix involving something fixed in place is considered like a suffix of 50-50. So the angry sofer was pater when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was pater again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, saw his friend get away with murder when he got mixed with other murderers before his Gemara Din, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rotzeach shinisar b'acherim. If a murderer became mixed with others, they're all exempt. Rav Yudah says, konsinom sol kippa. They're gathered into a chamber and are indirectly killed, as described in Daf Pei Aleph. Shmuel explained that one murderer, whose verdict was not issued, became mixed with convicted murderers. The Rabban hold, en gomrin dino shel adam el b'fanav. We can only issue a verdict in his presence, and since he cannot be identified, he cannot be convicted, and everyone is pater. Rav Yudah holds, they cannot all be exempt, since they're all murderers. So they're all killed through the kippa method. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which something in the more lenient misa is administered in a mixture, even against the majority? That's on Daf Pei. Good. Number two, which something in that a wife's grandmother is included in the isra of Ishu Bita, despite being Lamata Be'isra? That's on Daf Ein Hei. Good. Number three, which something when if a treifer murdered someone, he is exempt from Misa because of Edus Shia Tayachul Hazima? That's on Daf Ein Ches. Good. Number four, which stuff do you discuss when the offspring of a condemned cow becomes prohibited? That's on Daf Pei. Good. Number five, which stuff do you discuss removing a murder victim's ability to protect or save himself, such as removing a ladder? That's on Daf Ein Zayin. Good. Number six, which stuff do we discuss a case of one who threw a stone into a group of people and we learn kol kavuk mechzal mechzadami? That's on Daf Ein Tes. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we discuss what the din is in a case of a murder victim who is reassessed to survive and then dies? That's on Daf Ein Ches. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we discuss all the different cases of Isha Ubita? That's on Daf Ein Hei. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you learn how a more lenient misa is given to one who did not receive Hasra for it, such as in the case of people sentenced to different executions who are mixed together? That's on Daf Pei. Good. And number 10, which stuff do you discuss what the din is if 10 men struck an individual and he died? That's on Daf Ein Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.